Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
So we do have a developing story this morning. At least one person injured after a SEPTA bus overturned on the Blue Route 476 early this morning. Crews have been out there. They're still out there. Apparently, they just flipped over the bus right side, but it happened on it's Route 676. I'm sorry, I said 476. 676 southbound Ridge Pike in Plymouth Township. Now, the blessing here, the bus was not in service, so only the bus driver was in the bus. We don't know what happened there, but we do know that at that point when he flipped over, it was raining heavily.
I passed it coming in this morning,
yeah.
Right as soon as you get on the blue rope and once you pass the Plymouth Meeting Wall.
Yeah, it is 476 on. You said 676.
Yep. I drove right by it.
So it is 476.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
The report I'm looking at said 676. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
No, it's 476.
That's a real dangerous spot for some of these bigger vehicles, especially in the rain with that curve. I'm assuming a lot of people just go around it too fast.
Yeah, lost control, flipped it over, so they just flipped it right side. But at this point, there are some delays. The Chemical Road entrance, so if you usually enter by Chemical Road, just go down Ridge, and you can access it that way.
I'm sure, Nick, when you were coming in, it wasn't a big delay, but I can't imagine what it's going to be like in about 10 minutes.
I know. It was just the right lane was closed. There was one police vehicle, and it was still laying on its side over the guardrail in the like a bunch of shrubs and bushes and trees.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we have that one going on, so we'll watch it. You want to watch your traffic this morning. We have a new Pennsylvania law officially bans the use of handheld devices while you're driving. Got to go hands-free in Pennsylvania. Governor Josh Shapiro making it official.
Is that already a law?
No. Well, in Jersey it is.
Oh.
We talked about this years ago when it went to... Because in Jersey, if you're caught, the fines are huge. Because I happen to have a relative who was caught. The first fine in Jersey, $100, it goes up to $500 quickly.
I'm fine with that.
Me too.
Yeah. Or you could just be using wireless and Bluetooth like it's like 2024. Most cars are Bluetooth enabled. Or you could be like Anthony Dorenzo's dad and just wear the old Bluetooth in his ear like it's 2003.
How did we ever drive 10 or 15 years ago without a phone?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, we managed to do it. I don't understand why this is so difficult.
Yeah, here's a little social observance exercise today.
Yeah.
If you get to like a four-way intersection and it's backed up and you're at a big red light and you know you're going to be sitting there in traffic for the next 2.5 minutes, just look around at all the cars next to you. Everybody is on their phone while they're at their... Like, as soon as you brake, it's the automatic thought of, let me pick up my phone out of the console.
It is so frustrating to see.
I know.
And I'm guilty of it sometimes, and I try not to be. I try to be very cognizant. I actually, and Dawn will probably scold me for this, but I actually have stopped taking my phone with me when I go places.
I do that from time to time.
Because
what?
Yes.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't need the distractions. I don't need I went and picked up my son yesterday and we ran a bunch of errands. I didn't have my phone on me.
Sometimes when I go down to the gym, I don't even take the phone down with me.
I don't need the distractions.
It's okay, but what if you got in a car accident?
What happened if I got in a car accident 15 years ago? How would anybody have found me?
It's not 15 years ago.
But it's ridiculous. You pull out
the old car phone. Remember the car phone?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous that we have said, well, how can I see my Waze and how can I see my Google Maps and how can I see my music? No, we didn't have that stuff. And we all managed to get around.
We just had 12:10 a.m.
Exactly. Listen to the radio. Stop with this. Like, well, I need my streaming devices. Why? Why? So you can hear.
I have to be connected at all times.
The same song 15 times. Come on, stop.
I put the phone down just so I don't get carpal tunnel.
So there are exemptions for operating devices in a hands-free mode so that you can still use your GPS.
Oh, well, that's great. Thank God.
So you have that. And I mentioned New Jersey. We joined New Jersey, Delaware, we're among 20. We joined 26 other states. So half the country still does not have this, which is crazy to
mm-hmm.
me. But this was started, actually, named after a 21-year-old who was killed by a distracted driver back in the day, Paul Miller.
Yeah, exactly.
By a distracted driver back in Monroe County, 2010.
It was a tractor trailer, right?
Yes.
That went across the median because he wasn't paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are we doing? Was the text or whatever you were doing that important?
Well, that's why they have those digital billboards on the turnpike. It can wait.
It's just ridiculous.
Don't text and drive.
Stop.
Yeah.
We have only $50 fines.
That's a real deterrent.
And no points on your license.
Oh,
It's only a $50 fine. In New Jersey, it's tough. Like, by the third offense, I think it's $500 or $800. I'll look it up, but it's very expensive.
Yeah, that'll sting a little bit. Yep.
But you deserve it.
I agree.
We have so much else going on today, as we did have a juvenile charged finally yesterday in that stabbing that happened in Ocean City over Memorial Day weekend. So remember, a 15-year-old boy was stabbed and suffered serious injuries. He will survive, according to authorities, but they finally charged a juvenile with attempted murder.
Ooh, wow.
So, but charged as a juvenile, which is why we're not saying the individual's name.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that one going on. Let's talk about D-Day, of course, 80-year commemorations today. As the sun rose yesterday, I interviewed Ken Chase. He's there with Conservative Tours. And it was just incredible to hear him talk about this. And certainly there are so many soldiers who make it's a pilgrimage. And we do have somebody from our area who is over 100 years old, who and multiple, obviously, military veterans from the country, from Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, making their way.
Yeah.
We're there that fateful day.
I just chatted. If you recall, last May of 2023, remember I met for breakfast with one of the vets who was 99 years old. And just last week, one of our listeners that arranged that, a guy named Rich, who lives out in the Skipack area, gave me a call and said that the veteran's name, who I'm drawing a blank on the name now, but he's in Normandy today as well.
Yeah, so it's amazing when you think of World War II 80 years ago, and on this day, June 6, 1944, and certainly, you know, back to Normandy, France. I will say this, that I guess Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, he was not invited. And so there was some scuffle about that. But President Joe Biden arrived there yesterday, and he will be there for the commemorations today. So the break of daybreak today, near, you know, eight decades after Allied troops waded ashore under hails of gunfire on five codename beaches, Utah, Omaha, Gold, Juno, Sword, kicking off a day of remembrance by Allied nations now standing together again behind Ukraine, and with World War II ally Russia not invited by host France.
I have a piece of audio that I'll play during the cut sheet of a World War II vet who basically is just like, we lied about our ages to go into the military.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some of them were 16, 17. They lied about their ages to go in, and it's just like, you won't find people like that again.
You're correct.
You just won't.
No, totally different generation.
Yeah. Now we're like, oh, my cell phone, I can't drive and text. What will I do?
Yeah, what do you think these guys that are now 102 years old think about pronouns? just wondering out loud here.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's part of the problem with military, with the exception of the Marines.
Yep.
That's part of the problem with recruitment, right?
Yep. You got Lindsey Graham, Joe Manchin, Steve Scalise, Hakeem Jeffries, House, Senate, Republican, Democrat, all over there as well. My sources have told me Lindsey Graham is over there just trying to figure out what other wars we could escalate.
Yes.
He's on a seek and destroy mission.
I'm not a war guy, but that generation was special.
That image of them getting off of the into the shores is just iconic.
It's funny, the generation of people whose parents never told them they were special actually were, and the generation of kids whose parents always tell them they're special are not.
Right. Look at Stalker, he's even getting emotional about it.
I'm losing my voice. Sorry. I'm not really.
But you got strep again?
No, I don't. I'm good. By the way, Hossman Sober says, I need my phone in my car so I can tweet you guys.
That's the only exception. If you ever get pulled over, just say, officers, we're listening to Kaling Company. They'll let you go.
Like, all right. I think there was an exception in the, in the law there. So 74 degrees right now. It's kind of foggy and hazy and muggy out right now. A cloudy day. The sun will peek out. We will also get to a high of 85 degrees, but there's a chance later in the day this afternoon that we will see more rain and some thunderstorms. So watching for the timing on that one. But that tees us up for an incredible Friday tomorrow. The high will be 83 degrees, but the humidity, it'll feel so much, I don't know, it'll feel crisp at 83 degrees because the humidity will be lower. And then Saturday, a bright, sunny, beautiful Saturday, 81 degrees. Moving into Sunday, the lesser day weather-wise, the sun may peak out, but we will see some intermittent showers on Sunday for you with a high of 80. And then starting off the week, it looks like next week, we'll see more rain showers, greening things up, especially Greg Stocker's lawn that he worked so hard on seeding. We are sponsored this morning by Best Work Industries for the Blind. Their e-commerce store is helping businesses succeed in all work environments. BestWorkSupplyCenter.com offers traditional office products, cleaning supplies, furniture, technology, and so much more. Free shipping, next day delivery. Shop now, save at BestWorkSupplyCenter.com. As far as baseball goes, we beat the Brewers here, Phil. Yeah, swept the Brewers.
Aaron Nola, baby.
Yeah, babe. And now heading for London.
So the games are what? Saturday afternoon and then Sunday morning?
10 a.m. Sunday morning.
I love that. Right? I love early starts. Yes. I love those NFL games that start in London at 8 in the morning.
Yeah.
Get up, wake up, have breakfast, and get your day over with.
Little Bloody Mary.
Yeah. Little mimosa and baseball. Nola's pitching great. Castellanos is just swinging like a stud again for the last 9 games. That guy is such hit or miss. He can look like he doesn't belong on a major league roster some days. And then he goes through 2-week stretches where he looks like Harmon Killebrew.
How many, what do you think is going to be the discrepancy amongst Philly fans in the London crowd? Do you think it's going to be more Philly fans?
Who are they playing?
The Mets, aren't they?
The Mets?
Am I right about that? Hang on.
Yeah, it's dependent upon who they're playing. The Mets fans. The Mets fans aren't even going to go to City. They won't even go to Citi Field. They're so bad. They're not going to go across the pond.
Yes, it's Mets.
Yeah, no. I'll go pro Philly. 65-35 Philly. Although, you know, when you go to London, you always get fans of every team.
Yeah.
So you're going to see like a Reds fan there, a Cardinals fan, a Yankees fan. But I'll go more Phillies than Mets.
Yeah.
I would say Phillies.
Yeah,
I would agree.
I'll go Phillies.
I actually think it's going to be a lot higher. It's going to be like 80% Philly fans.
That would be great.
Cool.
Is the sports station going across the pond?
They are,
yeah.
They're there now, I think.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
Maybe, yeah, now or tomorrow. I don't know.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That is Kaling Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:15 on this Thursday morning. Let's get to another Big Take.
The Big Take on Kaling Company.
The Big Take this morning, the big guy's demise. Last week, it was all about Donald Trump. This week, it's all about Joe Biden. Now that the Donald Trump hush money trial has come and gone, the media has shifted their attention to the Biden administration and the Biden family. First, it was Joe's fourth quarter Hail Mary attempt to save a major weakness in his reelection prospects, that being the action he has taken on the border crisis. Second, it was and still is the trial of his son, Hunter, as he goes through the court process over his gun charges in Delaware. But now the media has taken aim at the decline of Joe's cognitive abilities and the erosion of his physical prowess. Remember, polling shows that Americans have major fatigue from the drama of both Donald Trump and the Joe Biden administrations and have said for over a year, we want a third option, a different voice and new leadership. And if I recall correctly, at one point on the show, Stocker made a prediction a while back that he could see both Trump and Biden not being the options come November 5th. So what is going on here with the latest on the big guy? Because it seems like the mainstream media is all on jumping on and attacking Joe Biden, and rightfully so, in my opinion. But the media only goes after a Democrat when it's undeniable and they are indefensible. After they got their pound of flesh from Trump, Are they doing the same again here with Biden? Well, there's plenty of new developments that could deem that to be true. From polls to key issue indicators to a Time magazine feature to a Wall Street Journal exclusive, it seems like the pitchforks are out and they are once again aimed in the direction of Joe Biden's declining mental faculties. Colleagues, both Democrat and Republican, as well as former White House physicians who served under both Democrats and the GOP, are all saying the same thing, which is why I want to examine all of this today in the first hour, as we are officially 3 weeks away from the election unofficially getting started when Biden and Trump debate number one gets underway on Thursday, June 27th. And perception matters. And we have a change in public opinion on whether each presidential candidate can, quote, govern effectively. As pollster Frank Luntz points out, in 2020, a Gallup poll showed that Joe Biden was slightly ahead of Trump, 52% to 48% on the ability to govern effectively. That number and confidence level 4 years later has completely changed. Now, Trump leads Biden 49% to 39%, a 10-point lead, which is also a 14-point swing. And as of June 2nd, Americans are less likely now than they were in 2020 to believe that President Biden is able to manage the government effectively, so says the latest Gallup poll. But a deeper dive in the presidential character ratings show that Biden has dropped 13 points in managing the government effectively, has dropped 9 points on whether or not he is likable, has dropped 9 points on displaying good judgment in crisis, has dropped 8 points on whether or not he is a strong and decisive leader, and has dropped 7 points on whether or not he cares about the needs of the people like you. And he's also dropped 6 points on being honest and trustworthy. Meanwhile, Donald Trump has gone up 1 point in 4 of those 6 categories. Also, Fox News has now provided a new analysis as they have unveiled the Fox News power rankings, introducing the issues tracker. Data whiz Bill Hemmer broke down the 2024 election on the issues at hand and had this information to unveil to the American public this week. Trump has strong leads over Biden with the border. He's up 18 points. The economy, Trump is up 15 points. And foreign policy and crime, Trump leads Biden by 7 points apiece. Voters, though, favor Biden on abortion by 12 points, preserving democracy and election integrity by 7 points. That's funny. And healthcare, 7 points. But here's a piece of data that I think really encapsulates this rematch. Trump is up 9 points on Biden in accomplishments. Biden is up 9 points in temperament. This election is about a lot of things. Abortion versus immigration, economy and inflation versus cliches and buzzwords. But maybe more than anything, it's about facts versus feelings. Those numbers I just gave you that tell you that narrative. Trump got more accomplished, but the big guy's got a better temperament. Who cares about temperament? It's pathetic. And lastly, when it pertains to physical and mental fitness, Trump is up 14 on Biden when he is labeled mentally sound. He is up 23 points on being sharp and physically fit and healthy, and up 27 points on being, quote, not too old. Here is Brian Lanza, former deputy communications director of the 2016 Trump campaign, and he joined CNN talking about Joe Biden's decline. Listen and watch.
It's not just the Trump campaign. It's our own visual eyes seeing Joe Biden's cognitive decline in front of us. And so, yeah, that's going to continue to get highlighted. I mean, every time he falls down the stairs, that gets highlighted. Every time he misspeaks, every time he talks about a different decade, you know, that's not the Trump campaign highlighting these things. That's the American voters seeing Joe Biden's cognitive fitness decline over the last 4 years. And, yeah, that is a big issue. I mean, Joe Biden's on the international stage today. He's off to Paris. He's with world leaders who have known him for probably close to 20 to 30 years. They have witnessed the cognitive decline of Joe Biden. And that's the scary thing about this issue is people in the world stage have known Joe Biden for 40 years. They've seen him when he was young and vibrant. And now they see him when he's old and senile. And that makes America weak abroad. And that makes America weak here. And that's the problem. It's not his age. It's his cognitive fitness. I mean, Warren Buffett's 91. I'd still take stock advice from him. Joe Biden's 81. I'm not going to take any legislative advice from him.
And while Donald Trump will always have the never-Trumpers working against him, the Washington Post, speaking of decline, has a new column out highlighting the never-Biden voters. And they articulate that these voters might loom larger. Here's an excerpt. Quote, certain Democrats trying to cope with President Biden's continually underwhelming 2024 poll numbers share an article of faith. It is called the ceiling theory. All Biden needs to do is rally allies who are unenthusiastic about him, that being young black and Hispanic voters against Donald Trump. The former president's ceiling, after all, has proved to be low. He didn't crack 47% in either the 2016 or 2020 election. And Biden has shown he can win a majority of the popular vote. There is some truth in that, but it overlooks something important that hasn't gotten much attention. Polls show that Biden's ceiling actually appears to be lower than Donald Trump's. Quote, while much has been made of never Trump Republicans, never Biden voters appear to loom even larger, at least for now. Back in 2020, it was the opposite. Whenever the question was asked, the percentage saying they'd never vote for Trump outpaced the never Biden contingent by double digits. Often, at least 50% of voters said not only that they were not going to vote for Trump, but that there was no chance that they ever would. At most, just 4 out of 10 said the same about Biden. But fast forward 4 years later, and that is now flipped. In the 6 key swing states, Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, across those states, 46% of registered voters said there was no chance they would vote for Trump, but now 52% say the same for Joe Biden. And we'll get to the Time Magazine feature on Biden as well as the Wall Street Journal exclusive at the bottom of the hour, but it looks quite evident at this moment in time. The clock is ticking on the big guy, left and right, Democrat and Republican, mainstream media and conservative media, all zooming in yet again on the mental and the physical decline of a president eroding before our very eyes on a daily basis, which leaves you with a question that drives many of us crazy. How in God's name can anyone vote for a president again that has been deemed the worst president probably since Jimmy Carter, and at 81, is showing no signs of finding the fountain of youth? And how can America handle 4 more years? Those are the questions that need to be answered. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Big take this morning. If you want to jump in, 855-839-1210. You can get us on social media at 1210WPHD. And, of course, in the YouTube chat. It's the Kale and Company comment community. Just go to youtube.com/@1210WPHD to watch, comment. And then while you're there, hit the like and subscribe buttons. Democrats and Republicans exclusively speaking with the Wall Street Journal. Wait till you hear some of the quotes about how bad Joe is behind the scenes. We'll get to that when we continue, but first, a word from my friends at the Piazza Auto Group. Just about 8-9 weeks ago, had the pleasure of exploring the new Mercedes-Benz C300 Coupe and Mercedes-Benz of Westchester, sleek and stylish on the outside and packed with advanced technology on the inside. Its touchscreen interface and AI voice recognition are sure to impress. It's so advanced, you don't even need to pick up your phone while you're driving. You can just talk to the computer. It's like bringing up Alexa or Siri while you're at a red light. The 2024 C300 features a turbocharged 2-liter 4-cylinder engine with 255 horsepower. It's available today at Mercedes-Benz of Westchester, Wilmington, or Atlantic City, or you can shop online right now. Just don't do it while you're driving. PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. Tell them Nick sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and the free Odyssey app.
I've got my sniffer up a little bit. I think something.
Your sniffer?
Yeah, I've got a good sniffer from time to time, Dawn. I can smell when there's shenanigans, there's nonsense, there's BS, and there's agendas at play here. And I think this is the beginning of something happening this week with Joe Biden, especially when the typical organizations that would carry his water are coming out with different articles and different exclusives. And I don't think they're all just coincidence, right? There's no anniversary. There's no significance in a date, but it's interesting. Time Magazine, Wall Street Journal, Democrats are talking, Republicans are talking. A lot of guys and gals offered conditions of anonymity to speak, you know, so they don't put their name on anything. And the Wall Street Journal has an exclusive that came out. It was either yesterday or Tuesday. And you have 45 different lawmakers on both sides of the aisle, Republican and Democrat. And these staffers were interviewed by the Wall Street Journal. And they described a president who spoke so softly during meetings that participants in these meetings struggled to hear him. They also talk about how he increasingly relies on cheat sheets in meetings. And at times, he has closed his eyes for so long that people wondered if he had drifted off, like a juror sitting on the Hunter Biden trial, which we'll get to coming up in a little bit. Former, and this is Republican and Democrat, and some people put their names on it, like guys like Kevin McCarthy. Former House Speaker was quoted as saying that Biden is, quote, not the same person anymore. Okay, that's not really breaking news. I get that. But, quote, you couldn't be there and not feel uncomfortable. One person who met with the president during critical negotiations over congressional funding for Ukraine aid in January told the Wall Street Journal. Got a couple of other quotes we're going to go through here. Others in attendance recalled that it took Joe Biden about 10 minutes from when he entered the room to get the meeting started. And when he did, he used note cards to make obvious points that everybody was already in agreement with, and participants could barely hear him speak. Quote, much of the conversation didn't even include him, the report states, noting that the president asked his staffers to answer some questions that were posed directly to him. In a February follow-up with House Speaker Mike Johnson, the Louisiana Republican, expressed his concern to the president over the administration's liquid natural gas export policy, fearing it was benefiting Russia. Biden didn't even seem to know the policy was actually in effect and falsely claimed that it was only a study, according to the report. The exchange, quote, dismayed Johnson, according to individuals who witnessed it. Quote, he always has cards, McCarthy said, referring to Biden's dependence on notes. He, quote, couldn't negotiate another way. And McCarthy also goes on to add, I used to meet with him when he was vice president. I'd go to his house. He's not the same person anymore. And then lastly, a senior GOP aide told the Post that the alarming allegations in the report about Biden's cognitive decline are why the Justice Department has refused to release the tapes of Biden's interview with former special counsel Robert Hur in the classified documents investigation. Quote, behind closed doors, isn't it obvious in public? Don't you think that's why they want to hide the Hur transcript and not release the tapes? The aide said. So you have people on both sides of the aisle now coming out, and I'll get to the Time magazine piece in just a moment. But it feels to me like now everybody is once again taking their shots, rightfully so. And remember, we had that stretch back in the winter, December, January, where the New York Times was writing pieces on Joe, and all the typical outlets that advocate and pander to the left are at the point where he's indefensible and it's undeniable. So what's going on here? Because we're 3 weeks removed, 3 weeks out from the first debate coming up. And then I want you to think about the calendar. You're going to have about 6 weeks after that debate, roughly 6 to 7 weeks before the DNC convention. Is that the stretch where they say, okay, if Joe bombs on stage on June 27th, in a setting where, remember, Joe has come out and said, these are the rules for me to debate Donald Trump. They've insulated him and done everything they can to make it a home field advantage for Joe Biden 3 weeks from tonight. If he's an unmitigated disaster, they'll have a month and a half to put the wheels in motion. I think this is all coordinated and by design. And I'm now back of the belief that I do think it's in play that he gets replaced. I'm not saying it's a certainty or a formality, but I think it's a fluid situation. Are you guys buying it? Are you guys smelling some stuff here? I'm starting to think that they're getting their plan B in line just in the event June 27th is a debacle.
I think the odds are it's Biden Trump, but I would not be surprised. And I think they have their plan B, and I think they have their plan C.
You think they've already pinpointed yep. who the replacements would be in the event?
And I think that they have to be careful because they at the convention, they have to allow the convention to play because they don't want Kamala.
Right.
She's not popular.
Mm-mm.
So that would be the tricky part. They would have to have the delegates voting and making that decision at the convention, that gets really messy.
Yep. And she's lower, to your point, she has a lower approval rating than Joe, which is pretty an amazing feat in its own right to pull off, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, people are going to start throwing out names, and we've talked about some of the names, but it wouldn't surprise me. I might even just later today put together a list beyond Kamala. You know, Michelle Obama's not going to do it. She's come out and squashed that. You know, we've heard one of you, it was either Dawn or Greg yesterday or 2 days ago, just, I don't know, maybe in passing, briefly mentioned the name Phil Murphy. Right? We've talked about Shapiro and Newsom.
Well, and they talked about Josh Shapiro. That was a week or two. I think that, wasn't that the Wall Street Journal?
No,
that
was USA Today.
It was USA Today. I get them all. And so that was, you know, Shapiro was number one on the list on the USA Today article that I quoted back then. Yeah. I don't know. I think everybody wants to, you know, for so many of us, it does become like a sport and you predict these things. But I think realistically at the convention, how does that play out? Mm-hmm. And it just becomes very messy. And especially when the black vote is in play, Trump is, you know, doing well with black voters. And now you're going to boot Kamala.
Funny you bring that up with the black vote being in play. Certainly Trump's going to do better than he ever has with the black vote. I think we all agree.
I was going to say, when you say in play, you mean he's going to get 15% instead of 12% or 8%?
20% about,
he's going to see more. We all agree he's going to get more than 2020, right? We're all on the same page with that. No?
You know what? Here's the weird thing.
Yeah.
Even though it's like the Phillies. Right now, the Phillies are magical and everything's hunky-dory, but then it's a long summer.
I'm going to say something that I think is going to be very difficult to counter. I don't think it matters what Democrat is rolled out when it comes to squashing whatever momentum Trump has with the black vote. Does Phil Murphy make black voters vote D? Does Josh Shapiro make black voters vote D? Does Gavin Newsom make black voters say, you know what, I was thinking about ditching Joe for Trump, but now that you give me Gavin Newsom, okay, I'm back on your team. You know, I think short of rolling out a talented, functional, competent African-American, which Kamala Harris does not qualify under any of those categories, I don't think any of these potential DNC August switcheroo candidates will change anything when it comes to Trump's ability to garner more of the minority vote than he did in 2016 and 2020. Whatever that percentage is, 15%, 18%, 22%, whether that's black, whether that's Hispanic, whether that's young, maybe the young voter perhaps would see a 55-year-old, a 57-year-old, whatever age Gavin Newsom is or whatever, and say, okay, this guy's, I can relate a little bit more to him because he's at least competent and he's not like my pop-up. By the way, I would be willing to bet, I'm watching some of the Normandy coverage here in France, some of these heroes that are 97 and 102 years old, they look like they've got more going on right now than Joe does. And they've got Joe by almost two decades, which really speaks volumes about where our president is right now. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in.
Yeah, and by the way, there was the story, and I know ABC News had it, New York Post, among others, but they said that the Trump team is vetting those Veep candidates. So it's Burgum, Rubio, just a small number of individuals. They're asking everybody for their paperwork.
Vance.
Tim Scott.
Yeah.
Tim Scott. Byron Donalds on that list as well.
Interesting. No Ron DeSantis.
And I noticed no Tulsi Gabbard either.
Yeah.
And those were a couple of our choices that we were throwing out.
No females on that list. Interesting.
I think it's if the Veep matters, I think it's a calculated misstep. I would have a female considered, whether it's Elise Stefanik, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Tulsi Gabbard. Don't matter to me, but I think you got to have somebody in the mix.
I think group that it was NBC, Dawn, that I think, at least where I saw the coverage, out of that list that NBC News had, I think Tim Scott is the clear and far away winner.
I'd be fine with that.
My opinion.
My gut feeling right now, if I had to go on the record, I think it's going to be J.D. Vance. That's my gut feeling, although I like Vance a lot, but I would go female.
That's what Sean Farish said like a week ago, and you like him too.
I like Vance. If you want somebody that is MAGA, and you look at that list, I think he is the guy almost from top to bottom. I think there was a stretch early on, maybe 6-7 years ago, where Vance wasn't the biggest Trump guy, but he came around to it and has been an ardent follower and supporter since. But he's also young. What is he, 39 years old, 40 years old? I think he's right around my age.
Did you guys see the movie or read the book, Hillbilly Elegy? That was his backstory is amazing.
Who, J.D. Vance?
Yeah. His backstory, if you haven't seen that, it's incredible. And mm-hmm. so he came from poverty and from a family of addiction. And his personal backstory is just incredible.
Wow.
And inspirational. Mm-hmm. And so even though he appeals to, I think, all voters. But if you're somebody who wants inspiration and you're somebody who's from that background of poverty, his story is just incredible.
Very interesting.
And how he rose and the old pull yourself up by the bootstraps.
Mm-hmm. All right. 855-839-1210. We'll come back, put a bow on the first hour. A couple of more quotes here on Joe Biden from these reports, including former White House doctor who served under both Obama and Trump. Says Biden's mental health is a national security issue. We'll get to that as we continue. It's Kale and Company, Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Ronnie Jackson, you might recall Ronnie Jackson is now the doctor, former White House physician, now a Republican congressman in Texas, a man who served under both Barack Obama and Donald J. Trump. And he says, quote, the article from the Wall Street Journal, quote, just documenting what I've been saying all along. He's not fit to be the commander in chief. He's got significant issues. He shouldn't have the job. You know, it's a national security issue for us. Before being elected to Congress, he was the White House physician. And he says, quote, most of those who said Biden performed poorly were Republicans, but some Democrats said that he showed his age in several exchanges. And the Texas Republican speculated that this could be the beginning of a political coup against the 81-year-old president. And we've had plenty of stories in the first 3 days this week where we've seen the left go after the left. Don't think for one second that they won't devour and ditch Joe if it means keeping power and keeping Donald Trump away from the White House. I firmly believe that.
You know, my dad, I've talked about COVID, and my dad, who's late 80s, would not get vaccinated. Did have COVID, was fine. He teased that the only reason they hospitalized him was so he could flirt with the nurses. But my dad thinks that Biden has long COVID. And he said that he did go through that where he had to, you know what I mean? He had to deal with that.
The extended fogginess.
Like a brain fog that my dad talked about. But my dad, his theory is that, by the way, my dad says Trump was the greatest president ever. Who's ever lived? He's like huge Trump fan, but he feels for Biden. He says he's convinced he has some kind of long COVID.
Could explain Bruno too.
Stop. It's not nice.
Sorry.
Bruno, he loves you. Your relationship with Tony Bruno is great. It's cute.
God. Yeah, cute's one way to put it. That's for sure. 855-839-1210. If you would like to jump in, Dawn will have some news to kick off hour number two. And then, of course, the cut sheet coming up at 7:45. Philadelphia, it's the capital of pride. It's the capital of drag queen story time for the kiddies. What is that about? We'll get into it on the other side. Kale and Company, hour two is next.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.